I'm privileged to come to you this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about you matter to God. Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4 through 9. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. His words in our mouth. I assure you today that life surely has its ups and downs. I'm sure that you've had your woes and you've had your victories just like we have. But in the scripture, it begins to tell us that the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I knew you. God knew you from the very beginning of time, even before your name was called. He knew what your name was going to be. But I can assure you that because of God's filter in your life, stuff has come your way. But in some of that, even the stuff that comes our way, that God puts on our plate, is a way of Him making us who we are. Because without the stuff, we probably would not have pushed in to the need for God like we have. It is not a surprise to God that you are where you are today. You might be surprised. For I say to you today that you do matter to God. You matter. You say it doesn't matter about your job, your circumstances, where you came from. God has known you. Fort Huachuca has a way of gathering people from all over the world. You look through this congregation, and as I think back about people that have come through the congregation and have gone to different places and transferred, and even in Germany we used to say, you know, it's a training mission ground, because they come in, they get trained, they're sent out to do the works of God. No matter where you've come from, God's known you from the very beginning of time. And in that, He's known the heartaches, the difficulties, the failures, the successes, and all those things that you would face in your life, but God brought you through it. He knows your shortcomings. He knows all of your accomplishments. And I was thinking, as we get older, and I've got in my garage right now about 6 cases of diplomas, graduations, and army certificates that are framed and still in there. But somehow, all of that doesn't make any difference to God. Because what God's after in every one of us is our heart. He's known everything that you're going to go through. You see, you not only matter to God, but your family matters to God. He's known how difficult your kids are going to be. He's known the times that they're going to scream at night. He's known your wife when she's wanting pickle and ice cream in the middle of the night because she's pregnant. He's known all of our quirks, however bad or extreme that they may be. He cares about our children. He cares about our family. And although you have difficulty sometimes in your family and your children, he says that your children will return to the Lord. Doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter the U-turn that they took at one time. There's going to be a suddenly in their life, and God's going to turn it around. And those prayers that you have prayed in the past for them children to come home, all of a sudden you say, I didn't know you'd even left because you're home. He cares about your friends. He cares where they are in their walk with the Lord. And he cares that you don't have the wrong relationships with them because it can destroy you. You see, because you matter so much to God, he purposed from the beginning of all time that there would be a plan that would be put in place that would ultimately resolve everything. I assure you that the cross is the way of that plan. And that he came to rescue all of us. Lord knows I've had my mess. And I know Marge has had hers too. We've all had our messes. And if we're honest, we can say to God, thank you that you looked down and you saw me in my mess. And God already had in mind that he was going to send a solution for that mess so that we didn't have to remain there, but that he would come to deliver us out of that mess and take us out of the mess and set us on solid ground. I don't know about you, but I've had situations and messes in my life that I simply needed somebody to rescue me. I've had my days of drugs and alcohol. I've had the days that I couldn't remember how I got to the other place because I was so drunken and stupor. But I can tell you, my friends would not deliver me out of that. The people that surrounded me would only encourage me back into that environment. I needed something bigger than me. And that person that was bigger than me was none other than God himself. And in every one of our circumstances, no matter how deep you get into the stuff, we all need God to come and step in, because he's the answer to all of our situations and our needs. Can you say, but God? Come on, say it louder. But God. You see, God had the answer I needed. God knew that one day I would become desperate. If it hadn't have been for God, I wouldn't be here today. But you see, we have to come to a place of desperation. Sometimes we just love the sin that we're in. And because of that, we play with the sin, we play with the pornography, we play with the alcohol, we play with the drugs. We play with all the sexual addictions, and out of that, we just become comfortable in it. But God. And when he steps into the scene, he's going to deliver us out of all that stuff. And the place that we're headed right now, it's going to require a deliverance out of the past to be pure before God so that we can begin to do what he's called us to do. See, desperation can drive us to places that are uncommon and cause us to do things that might other people think are stupid. New plan, new desire. God wants us to be better than what we are today. I was thinking about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us that she had had this for many years. And here's a crowd that's surrounding Jesus. And if you could picture that in your mind, and you've got a crowd surrounding Jesus, the woman coming with the issue of blood, and she wasn't saying, could you please move aside? She says, get out of my way. I'm on my way to Jesus. He's got the answer and the solution. Now, yesterday, she may have been saying, please get out of my way. But today, she says, get out of my way. I'm getting to Jesus. And when he got to her, all of a sudden, things were different because the anointing that Jesus had in his life brought her deliverance. See, Zacchaeus, he climbed a tree. Short man, couldn't get to Jesus. But when he climbed the tree, he was recognized. And Jesus said, what are you doing in that tree? Why don't you come home, come down out of that tree, because I'm going to your house today. If he hadn't been desperate, he wouldn't have climbed the tree. Blind Bartimaeus cried out. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. The word mercy also means pity. He healed him. And he followed Jesus. The centurion comes to Jesus. And he says, I've got a fellow worker that is on my side. Thank you. And he said, my servant has been paralyzed. But Jesus said, I don't have to go there. He said, if you send the word, if you only send the word. Now we take a little side trip here, because here's what happens. The centurion understood that he was under authority. Many times in the house of the Lord, we don't understand what under authority means. The Greek word for that is hupakuo, which means to come under. Jesus stood under the authority of the Father, and the word tells us he went about doing good and miracles because he stood under. Wonder how much we would accomplish if we stood under authority. I don't like that sermon the pastor preached today. I'm going to pray for him a little bit different, so he preaches a little bit different. When we come under authority, it doesn't make us always feel good. Coming under authority is the response that happens when we have to do something that we don't want to do, and we know that God said it through his designated authority. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross and die? Do you think him and the Father had a discussion or something? Now, Daddy, what do you think about? You really want me to go there? But he says, my people, he had you in mind. He had me in mind. Just as the centurion said, Jesus, if you will only say the word, my servant, see, I'm under authority, this is what centurion is saying. And because I'm under authority and you are under authority, then I know that what you say is going to happen because I too am under authority. As we come under the authority, then things begin to happen differently. Maybe that job you have wanted for such a long time will come in. Maybe where the enemy has snuck in a situation, all of a sudden would be bound because the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ steps into the situation. You see, God knew every Bible man and woman when they came to their place of desperation. We too can come to our own places of desperation. What one will call desperation is simply endurance for somebody else. I used to laugh, I'd laugh now, not then, when I was a part of the Methodist Church in North Carolina. We used to have testimonies on Wednesday night, and there were popcorn testimonies, and one of the things people always used to say, pray for me that I endure to the end. Now, I don't know about you, but some of the stuff that I've been through, I'm glad that I've got the victory in it, and I don't have to just deal with it all of my life. Because we are made to be more than overcomers because of what Jesus has already done for each and every one of us. You see, desperation can happen like this. You know, if you got sickness or injury and you're headed to the hospital, I'm sure that 15-mile zone is not 15 miles an hour anymore. You may have a little blue light going behind you on the way down, too. But see, desperation will drive us like that. You see, if you have serious injury or illness in your life, when all of us are sitting here with smiles and feeling good and we're healthy, we don't have cancer in our bodies, we don't have a heart attack going on, brain tumors. But you see, when all of a sudden, and I can assure you that in my life, I know for sure, as Pastor Marge and I do too, in a moment, things can be different. Today, you can be healthy. Tomorrow, all of a sudden, all hell could be broken loose on you. But I tell you that Jesus is the answer for hell. But all of a sudden, when we have cancer and heart conditions and a broken leg or whatever it might be, we begin to pray different. We begin to testify different. All of a sudden, we go into the closet where the Bible's been there for about 10 years, and we begin to dust it off, and we begin to believe it, and we begin to read it like we never have before. You see, desperation will do that for you. You lose your job, and all of a sudden, you begin to confess different. Lord, I thank you for this job that's coming in. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to get in the employment line. Lord, I thank you that you're the God for this job. Lord, give me the perfect job. I mean, we pray the prayers, folks. But God wants each of us to have life in full and abundance. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they, that's us, can have life that is more abundant. I like what the Jameson Bible Commentary says. It says it this way. Life and more abundantly. Not just to preserve your life, but to impart life. Not to just cause you to be sustained where you are, but to breathe into you as it would be a new breath of life, and to communicate it in rich, unfailing exuberance. So when he breathes on you this life that is the life of God, is the Zoe life of God that comes in you, it was like yesterday you were dead, but now you're alive. Because now he's breathed into you a life that is Zoe life, that is more abundant life, that is from him that nobody else can give you. God saw this from the beginning of all time. You see, what we do many times is a plan A. Now, if this doesn't work out, there's always a plan B. I assure you, in moving into this building, we did not have a plan B. We knew that either God was going to come through or not. And we have seen in our lives here at Shiloh, God has come through for us. People have said to you, you must be crazy. What are you doing building when that building on 200 North Avenue still sitting there? Well, God said it. The sign says, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. In your own life, God said it. You believe it. That settles it. God's just waiting for you to come online with what He's already said so He can do what He said. And as you begin to do that, there will be a supernatural release that will come out of heaven. God did not have a plan B either. You see, when He sent Jesus, He sent His Son for every single one of us. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 tells us that He sent His only begotten Son. I like to think about it in these terms. He sent His best. God sent His tithe for us. He invested. Tithing for us is the same way. As we invest, it produces much fruit. Throughout this room is a result of what Jesus did. John 14, 26 says, He sent Holy Spirit for us. Now I say, when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit is sent not to just make you feel good. The Holy Spirit was sent not to make you speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit was sent to baptize us. Word baptizes, baptismo means to be immersed in. And if you are filled up with the Holy Spirit, you are full. Here's where I meddle. If you never filled your gas tank up again, you would never drive any place. The Word says, be filled, which is an action with the Holy Spirit. Some of us have been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I would hate to say how long ago that was, and have never been refilled. Let me just say it another way. You have never been refired. I can remember when people were getting saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you couldn't stop them from doing stuff. But yet, at Shiloh, we always are seeking out people to do stuff. If you're on fire, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the drive and the unction of the Holy Spirit to push you to where you need to be going. And some people don't need to be coming and say, will you please? Because you already are. Fact is, this is a loving, giving, serving church. Let's just give the Lord a hand for all who serve in this church and honor God in that way. But see, we can get past all that. Beyond that, he came, He equipped us. The Word said He gave us a dunamis power, explosive power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. Said He gave us a paraclete, a parakletos. Says is the advocate, the helper, the one that comes along beside. We need that. And Acts 1:11 tells us, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here? looking up into heaven. Probably saying, how did that happen? He did go, like he said. But he's coming again. And the word said he's coming to receive us unto himself. You see, the reason that God sent his best, Jesus, is not for us to be saved, just to be saved. He did not send Jesus for us just to speak in tongues. He didn't send Jesus for us just to be healed. He did not send Jesus just for us to experience revival. But he sent Jesus so we go beyond ourselves to be life changers. To be life changers. You see, if it's all about us just getting to heaven, then what Jesus did is in vain. See, it's beyond my car. My car. It's way beyond my ministry. Way beyond my church. Because it's his car. It's his ministry. It's his church. And when we resolve all that, we can all automatically see that now, because it is his, it's going to bring his results. John 14:12 says, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father. You see, you matter to God. You have worth. You have ministry. You have calling. You have purpose. Even as Pastor Marge was given this prophetic word and seeing those that were, and the line being drawn, and us on one side and them on the other side, I saw that too many times what begins to happen, we look across those in the valley of decision, do nothing about it. We allow them to remain there. Where God is calling this church today, and if you go back and look at previous messages, it's been a ground of preparation for what God's about to do. But what the Lord's asking us to do today is not to stand there and look across, but to reach across with our hand, grab onto them, pull them over to the other side, because that's the call and the ministry that God has for us. People are dying and going to hell because we don't care about it. And when we get stirred into our heart, into our spirit, and see people are dying, we go into the battlefield, in the military, and we go and we rescue the wounded and the people that are hurting and dying, and rescue countries that are going down the tubes, but don't care about the person that will spend their life in hell because they don't know Jesus. But we have the answer. Jesus came to bring that answer. Mark 16:15 says, go. That's usually used as a missionary go. We need to go beyond where we are. We need to go to our jobs. We need to go to the grocery store. You're being sent. You may not think you are. Sometimes that boss you have, I know. I'm not talking about here. I know you have situations at work that sometimes seem unbearable. But if you can grab a hold of one thing, God placed me here for His purpose. And when the right time comes, you will say the right thing. So you can go to the hospital. You can go to the nursing home. You can go wherever God sends you and do His bidding. Tim Hughes says this in the lyrics of his song, God of Justice, we must go. We must go to the broken and the hurting. We must go. We must go. We must go to feed the hungry. Stand beside the broken. We must go. We must move into action. We must go. I assure you that your life matters to God. Your life matters to others. I want to give you some practical ways that you can go to the lost. We need to, number one, begin to love them and their language. You know, the church, we have what I call Christianese. People come to the church, we are talking stuff that nobody understands. They said that they were filled with the Spirit. What Spirit was that? What does that mean? I was saved. I can tell you that Pastor Marge, being raised a Catholic for all of her life, Mannheim, Germany, we went forward and received the Lord together. Went home, she said, boy, I feel so good. I said, you got saved? I said, you got saved. She said, I got what? Nobody knew in the Catholic Church what that meant then. But yet, today, it's commonplace among a lot of Catholics to know what a relationship with God is like. Think about it this way. Knowing what I know about the person that I know, and Pastor Eric last week said, you should begin to pray for three people. Three people that you want to see come into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you practical ways that you can begin to communicate with them. Knowing what you know about those people, what can you do to make them feel loved? Just a practical way. I understand some of us like coconut cake together. Pastor Joseph loves coconut cake. Pastor Atticus loves coconut cake. Number two thing we need to begin to do is understand, be there for them in bad times. Think about it. A loss of a family, a child, take food to their home. Just a call to say, how are you doing? I heard that you're going through a rough time. Too many times we become about trying to keep the saved saved than we are about reaching the lost. And God's calling us out of our comfort zones today. Pray for them as the door is open. When you are there for a person in their storm, you will find a God moment. I have found, I do things uncommon in this city. I'm on the call list for Hatfield's funeral home. I have dealt with people in those situations where family members have committed suicide. Not been in church for 30 years. But yet in those God moments, years ago, there was an accident that happened over the mountain with some teenagers from Buena High School with a woman who was known as a party goer. They went into Mexico and rolled over, killed all three of them on the way back. I did two of those funerals. I was in Bisbee, and the place was packed out. I gave an open invitation for people to receive the Lord, and I said, I don't know where she is today, but you know the life that she lived. But today, you can make that determination. Out of about 300 people that was packed out, there was more than 20 that stood that day at a funeral to receive the Lord. It's not about her life. It was bad that all that happened. Because God was seeing way beyond all that for her and those kids. But yet through that, he reached out and others came into the kingdom. You see, during these times, people's hearts are very tender. And when you have that God moment, you can step in and you can always say, did you consider? Many, many times, I have never had somebody, don't pray for me. Never had that happen. Beyond that, be for them, be there for them in the good times. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. We talk about that a lot here at Shiloh. You see where we rejoice with, not necessarily people going away. We don't like that. But we like to rejoice and celebrate with you your celebrations. But you see, beyond the house of God, as we begin to celebrate with people who don't know God, they're saying, why are they doing that? Celebrate with them in their birthdays and marriages and birthdays and anniversaries, graduations. And all this, you begin to establish trust. Be what you say you are. Don't say one thing at church and be another thing when you're out with them. And there are some places, church, you do not go with them. Just because you're trying to win them to the Lord doesn't mean that you go to the outhouse and the cat house and every other house. And use that as an excuse to get there. We know what the Word of God says. It says, come out from among them. You be a witness where you can. You be what you say you are. If you're a Christian, live like it. Be a witness. Say the word when God opens the door. Well, they might not receive it. How you know? You haven't said it yet. Say it. See what happens. Be available. Number five, show genuine interest. I have a friend of mine, and many of you know who he is. Michael Chitwood was here many years ago. He had a knack at this one thing, and he was the best at it. He was a millionaire, still is. But beyond that, if you're talking to him, you are the most important person in the universe. Somebody doesn't come from the side, this side or that side, and interrupt. He's focused. Take interest in the person that God has got us going to reach them for the kingdom of God. Hear what they have to say. Listen to their heartbeat. And then respond accordingly. Number six, pray for them. These steps will cause people to be drawn into the kingdom of God. Simply, you don't have to say, I want them to Jesus. You didn't win anybody. All you do is just introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get them connected. I assure you that at Shiloh, we have many ways that we can get you connected. If you don't know what to do, call the church office. We'll take it from there. But beyond that, we'll get you involved too, so you know the next time what to do. Amen.